Okay, we're picking up four lines from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. This is a very exciting daf because this daf is going to discuss the laning of Rosh Chodesh and how do you do the laning of Rosh Chodesh, which is, I love the Hashkacha of the daf. When you see Hashkacha Pratis, that the daf specifically is in Yanon Yoma, Mamash, exactly today, Rosh Chodesh. It's very exciting to be reading and learning the Sugya now. So again, the Mishnah said, Rosh Chodeshim Chaluch Moed Garib, Arba, you have four aliyahs. So now the Gemara asks, Ba'a Minei Ula Bar Rav Mi Rava. Ula Bar Rav asked Rava, Parshas Rosh Chodesh Keter Korna. So how do you read the Parsha Rosh Chodesh? How is it divided amongst the four different Kurim? So now the Gemara is going to flesh out. Ula Bar Rav is going to explain why there is a problem. So Gemara says, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'mar t'leyamas kor b'nei lach min dehavin timnei psuki heichi na'avid. The fact that we have over here, there's the whole section. It's important to note there's three different paragraphs in the laning. If you look at the Torah, there's going to be a psucha. There's going to be a paragraph after the first eight psukim. You have one paragraph. Then Uviyom Shabbos is going to be a mini paragraph of two psukim, and then Rosh Chodeshim is another five psukim. So you have the first set is what he's bothered by, is that you have eight different psukim within one paragraph. So what's the problem? Nikre trei plus psukim. So let's have two people read the first three psukim. So right, the minimum aliyah we learned in yesterday's daf, the top of Chaf Aleph Beis, right? We had that minimum amount is three psukim for a person to get an aliyah. So divide it. You'll have the first two people read through psukim, and then you'll pashul trei. You'll have two psukim remaining in the paragraph of the first paragraph of the parsha of Rosh Chodesh. So what's the problem? That in Misharin parsha, there's an isser to leave an unread paragraph less than two psukim. You can't end off an aliyah when you're having osaf. It's very important to know these halachas because you're not allowed to end off a paragraph in the middle of a paragraph unless there's a minimum of three psukim. Because if there's less than three psukim, we're concerned that someone's going to leave and he's going to assume that the person is only going to be reading two psukim and he's going to think that you only have to have an aliyah with two psukim. That is the isser. That's why it's usher to end a paragraph. It's usher to end in the middle of a paragraph when there's less than three psukim left in that paragraph. So the Gemara says, Nikri Arba Arba. So why don't we have two people reading four psukim each, finishing that paragraph? So the Gemara points out, Pashalu Shiva, but then you're going to have seven psukim more remaining to the end of that kriya, and then then you're going to have the psukim of Shabbos again. That's a paragraph with two psukim, and then the next psukim in the Rosh Chodesh is going to have five psukim. Heichin Avit. So then again, how are we going to do that with the last seven psukim? How are we supposed to divide them amongst those two readers? Nikre Trei Miha Vechad Mahanech. We're going to lay only two psukim of the second paragraph, and the other one from the next paragraph. That's also not allowed. Turning on to the next seven top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Ein Maschilim Parsha Pachos Mishlosh Psukim. You're also not allowed to begin a paragraph and read less than three psukim, and that's according to Rashi. You shouldn't step less than three psukim into a new paragraph because we're concerned that someone coming late is going to come into shul after seeing this, and he's going to see the new paragraph and think that you can only have, and that he began his reading with this paragraph, and he's going to think that a person can stop after only one, maybe even one pasuk is an aliyah or two psukim. So that is going to be a similar problem to ending it early. That's the problem over here. So the Gemara says, Likre Trei Miha Utlasim Halef. So a person, you're going to have a third reader read two psukim of this paragraph and three of the next paragraph. That's also not a viable option. Why not? Because Pashuluhu Trei. Then only two psukim will remain in the third and final paragraph. And that is going to, then what's going to happen there? A person is not allowed to conclude in the middle of a paragraph with less than three psukim because people are going to, again, get confused. So that's a problem. And then how is the Rosh Chodesh read amongst over here? So that is the problem of the Gemara. So Rishon HaRabbi, why don't we just add to the fourth aliyah? Why don't you just have a fourth crew read the next paragraph that's not talking about Rosh Chodesh? So the Rishonim point out, no, because that's not in Yonah Dioma. That has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. You're not allowed to read it. So the first paragraph, how is that Shayach to Rosh Chodesh? Because we bring the Korban Tamet Shel Shachar Ben Arbaim, we bring that on Rosh Chodesh as well. And how about Shabbos? So the Ran points out already by Shabbos Rosh Chodesh could fall on Shabbos. And since Rosh Chodesh could fall on Shabbos, that's also something which is relevant to the laning of Kriya Satora of Rosh Chodesh. So again, that's why you can't just add to the Aliyah. So now the Gemara responds to Rava. Amar lo, Rava says, Zulo Shemati. I didn't hear explicitly halacha with someone dealing with the halachas of reading on Rosh Chodesh. However, Kiyotzebo Shemati. I did hear a similar question which might apply to your question, which could answer your question. What is that? This time we learn in the Mishnah. You should be familiar with this. We had this in Maseches Tainis. So this is talking about the mamados. Just remind ourselves, you had the mamados, you had the 24 different mamados, which served 1 week on a rotating basis, and this mamados was connected the kahuna who was at that time, who was bringing the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. You had a portion of the mamad which was present in the Beis HaMikdash, while the rest of the mamad was in their cities, having special tefillos to daven that behalf that the korbanos should be miskabel, they would fast, and they would be reading from Kriyas Torah. They would be reading from Sefer Bereishis. They'd be reading the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. So the first day, Sunday's reading consisted of two paragraphs in the Torah, and one had five and three psukim respectively in the paragraph. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, what do you do? The first paragraph is a bracious, is read by two people. And the next paragraph is read by one person. So Gemara asks, wait a second. So I understand the second paragraph is read by one person. It has three psukim, so there's no kasha there. However, and again, it has three psukim in the second paragraph. The first paragraph is read by two different people, and it has five psukim. How could you have that? There's five psukim. We learn in a braisa, a person who's reading Kriyas Torah is not allowed to read less than three psukim. So how then can two people read, divide a five paragraph pasuk, five psukim in a paragraph? How could they divide it amongst two readers? Each one is going, one of them is going to be reading two. So Gemara's v'itmar Allah. So there's a machlokas about this. Rav Amar Doleg. Rav says the second reader goes back and rereads the last pasuk that the first person already read. So therefore, the first person is going to be reading one, two, and three, and the second person rereads three and goes back and reads four and five as well. That's what Rav says. So Shmuel Amar Posek, and Shmuel says you split the third pasuk into two psukim, and half is read by the first guy and half is read by the second. That's considered as if you read through three psukim. Again, so according to Shmuel, you read pasuk Aleph Beis and half a pasuk Gimel, which will be considered like an entire pasuk for this purpose, and the second one's going to read half pasuk Gimel and Dalet and Hey as if you read two. So the Gemara now analyzes the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says Rav Amar Doleg Maitam Lamar Posek. So Rav, who says that the second person goes back, why doesn't he say that instead a person should split the middle psukim as Shmuel suggested? Because he holds Kasavar Kol Psukim Del Paskin Moshe Anol Paskin Alei. Rav holds that any pasuk which Moshe did not divide, you're not allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk. And therefore, if the end of the pasuk is written in the Torah Shebichsav and it's part of the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, is it where the pasuk ends? You're not allowed to split that pasuk into two different psukim. So that's a whole big shaila. When how you allowed to quote half a pasuk in davening and in different contexts where we have quotations of half psukim? That is a very big shaila. How in the world is that mutter based on this principle? And Shmuel says that it is it's meant a lot to be divided. How could Shmuel say that? Amar b'chini amar kra. So this is a Tana now, Rabbi Chanina, to divide a pasuk into two people, into two psukim, to be able to teach the in cheder, to be able to teach little children so they could understand the pasuk. And even that, the lo yitir li lifsuk ela tinoko shbi ram, the only time you permitted for me is for the little children in school, the 5-year-old, 6-year-old who are learning, they can't learn an entire pasuk at once, so I'm able to divide it amongst two psukim. Ha'il v'islam and asuyan, since the pasuk are made into several parts to be taught easily. So, however, any other circumstance, I'm not allowed to divide it into. So then, how is it? The Gemara is asking, how is it that Shmuel says that a pasuk is allowed to be divided into two for the Kriyas Torah of the Ma'amados? The Gemara says, "Hasam time am I? Why is it in the case of the cheder children that you're allowed to be mekel to divide it into two psukim? Mishum de la'asher, because there's no other possible way to teach it to them. There's no other way. Hachanam la'asher. Here also, the reading of the Ma'amados is not possible to divide it. So normally, you're not allowed to do it. Where it's not possible, this is the only time you're allowed to do it. Shmuel is not considering Rav to be a valid method to doing it. So therefore, he understands that there's no other heter other than splitting the pasuk into two. So Gemara says, Shmuel amar posek, my time amar doylik. But Shmuel says that one splits it. Why taka doesn't he hold like Rav that you should just reread the last pasuk? So the Gemara says, because he's still bothered by Gzira Mishum Nechnasin Mishum Yotzin. He still thinks that the Isser Darbanan of because the purple people who are coming to shul in the middle of the Kriyas Torah, and because those who leave early, is still going to be applicable over here. The Rabbanan did not allow the first person to read the first three psukim of the first paragraph because the next person to reread it, because the person who leaves, let's do one thing first. The person who's coming to the shul late, so that person is going to begin from the third pasuk, is going to think that the first person only read two psukim. So that's the first problem. And similarly, one who leaves early is going to think that the other person who's going to be reading from pasuk Gimel is going to only have two psukim in his aliyah, and then you're allowed to only have two psukim in your aliyah. So that's a twofold problem over here, and that's why Rav is bothered by this. The Gemara says that's why Rav has his taina. The Gemara says, Meisivei, we have akasha from a brisa. Parsha shel shisha psukim kornos abishnayim. That if you have a paragraph of six psukim, that's very good. You can read it by two people, each person getting the minimum of three aliyahs, three psukim, which is good. Vel shel chamisha psukim biyachid, and a paragraph of five psukim is read by one person. Kara rishon shlosha, if the first reader read already three psukim, and a five, he had five, right, it was a paragraph of five psukim, then ashini kora shnayim miparsha zu, ve'echad miparsha achar. That the second person reads the first two psukim that remain from this paragraph, and one additional pasuk from the next paragraph to complete a total of three psukim. V'yesh omrim shlosha, and some say that a second reader should read three psukim in the next section. So you have the Yeshman and Sosha Lafisha in Maskil and Porsha Pachos Psukim, because the person is not allowed to begin a paragraph and read less than three psukim.
So the Gemara is assuming right now that the Gemara is going to flesh out what exactly is bothered by it. V'im Isa, now if it is true, now this is Lechora Kasha both on Rav and Shmuel, then Lamanta Mar Doleg Niglog. According to the one Rav who says that the second reader goes back and rereads the first pasuk, the Brisa's case also, why don't we just say that the second reader should go back and reread the last pasuk that the guy read before him, and an additional two psukim, and according to Shmuel, the Mar Posek Nusuk, and according to Shmuel, it says you're allowed to split up a pasuk, then the case also should have read two people split up the third pasuk. So according to this, why then does the first Brisa insist that if you have a 5 second paragraph, be read by one person? Why is that going to be the case? So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Dil Afshar. There it's different in the case of the Brisa, because over here one has the option to have a better answer, a better solution, is that you continue reading from the next paragraph. Why is the next paragraph Shayach? Rashi points out, because the Brisa is telling us we're dealing with a Monday and Thursday, which another paragraph is always allowed to be added, since it's always considered the Inyana Dioma. And therefore there's no need to use the methods of Rav and Shmuel, and therefore the Gemara is concluding that both Rav and Shmuel only are explaining their answers as a busy Eved, when you're stuck, and when there's no other way to read the Psukim, that's how they suggested their answers. So the Gemara now continues, Amar Tanchan Amar B'Shem and Levi, Alacha Ki Yesh Omim. The Alacha follows the Yesh Omim Right, so that says that at least 3 psukim must be read from the new paragraph, since one may not begin a new paragraph with read than less with less than 3 psukim. So Gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Tanchum Amar Rishab and Levi." Rabbi Tanchum said in the name of Rishab and Levi, "Kishem she'im aschilin parsha pachas megillah psukim." Just as one is not allowed to begin a paragraph and read it less than 3 psukim, kach in misharim parsha pachas rishab psukim. Also, you're not allowed to leave over a paragraph less than 3 psukim. That's what we already mentioned before, that there's a similar gzera. The Gemara is just bothered by it. Why do we even need to mention the second half of the statement? Pshita, it's obvious that from the first ruling that you don't need to mention that you are not allowed to leave over a paragraph less than 3 psukim. Hashta ma aschalsa de kamaschil tanakam machmir yeshomim. Now, in the case where the beginning paragraph and reading less than 3 psukim, the tanakam of the brisa is mekel and the yeshomim are machmir. So there we have machlokas regards to reading from the beginning of a new paragraph. The Kama says you can be mekel, let the reader read only one pasuk, whereas the Yeshomrim says you need 3. So that was a machlokes. Sure, the machmira tana kama. So then when leaving over the end of the psukim, ending your aliyah, where the tana kama, who was mekel in the previous circumstances, now machmir, so then kal v'chomer, then the kol shekein, the machmir Yeshomrim, the Yeshomrim obviously is going to be machmir. So why does Rabbi Shimon Levi feel the need to even tell us a separate ruling that one may not leave over less than 3 psukim in a paragraph, if everybody, even the tana kama, who allows to be makel to allow the reader to stop less than 3 psukim into a paragraph, does not allow him to stop within 3 psukim of the paragraph's end, which again we're afraid of a person who's leaving. We see then that stopping is more chamer, it's worse than stopping the 3 psukim early. So then obviously the yeshomrim are going to be machmir. So the Gemara says, Mao the same. I would have thought, because nichnasin shchicha, you might have said that people coming that the yeshomrim might taina that people coming in late is more common, and therefore they're going to assume that the paragraph is, therefore you can't start a paragraph less than 3 psukim, read a paragraph less than 3 psukim. Yotzin lo shchichei demanche sefer Torah nafke. Who's going to leave in the middle of the stuff for the sefer Torah? So it's not right to leave in the middle of the kriya sefer Torah. So therefore, that's not common. Therefore, the Yesh Omer maybe did not say that it's usher for a person to leave less than 3 psukim into an unread paragraph. So therefore, Kamash Lona, Bishub and Levi has to actually teach us this Chiddush that the Yesh Omer would tell us that we have to be concerned about the possibility of someone leaving early, and therefore it's usher to stop less than 3 psukim from the end of the paragraph. So now the Gemara says, what's the svara behind the Tanakama? What's the reasoning behind the Tanakama? Tanakama maishna shirei delo. Why is the Tanakama making a difference between the halachas of an unread paragraph, which is going to be less than 3 psukim, that it's going to be aser, mishim yotzin, because the people who leave in the middle of Kriyas Torah, we might assume that the next reader is going to only have read 1 or 2 psukim in the paragraph. So then also, aschulei namik zera mishim nichnasim. But a paragraph beginning a paragraph and reading less than 3 psukim also should be usher because of a chumrah that people are going to come to shul in the middle of Kriyas Torah who might assume that the previous person who was reading read only one of, or there are two of the psukim of the previous paragraph. Why is the Tanakhama not concerned about those who the Tanakhama is only going to be concerned about those who are leaving early, and it's not concerned about those who are coming late to shul? So Gemara says, Amri man da'ayel shiule shayel. They answer that at the end of the day, someone who is coming into shul in the middle of Kriyas Torah, and he hears the new person beginning from the second or third pasuk of that paragraph, he's going to ask about whether he's going to ask the people in the shul what's going on over here. The guy before had an aliyah less than 3 psukim, and they're going to respond, no, that he also read from the previous paragraph and he had 3 psukim, and they will not be mistaken impression that a person is allowed to read less than three psukim. That's so. What about the other side, though? So, why about a person leaving early? Where is he going, though? Who's he going to ask? He's just going to leave early, and he's going to think, "Oh, do you have an aliyah less than two psukim?" He's not going to be able to ask anyone who's leaving shul. So, there's going to be no one to ask over there. So that's why they're machmir on the case of the ending it early. So Gemara says, "Shalach le Rabba braid Rabba of Yosef. Rabba, son of Rabba, center of Yosef. Hilchas Amai. What is the halacha with regards to the halachas of the mamados? So we follow Rabba Shmuel. That is the opinion of Rashi and the Rabban. However, many other Rishonim, the Rif, the Rush." Other Rishonim, they all learn that this question is actually, what is the lacha also with regards to Rosh Chodesh? So the answer is, Salachai Hilchasa Doleg. Rabbi Yosef said, the lacha is that you repeat it, and you go back, then you repeat the previous paragraph. I'm telling you, Dolgan, and in the middle one, who goes back, meaning the second of the three, Kruim, will be reading. That is if you understand that it's talking about the Ma'amados. But like we said, according to all those other Rishonim, who explain the Gemara is referring to Rosh Chodesh, so it says the Emta Dogan, that the middle reader is the one who's going back. Who is this Emta? This leads to a Machlokas HaPoshkim Ara Yom HaZeb. There is different Minhagim, what to do. The Ramah Paskins, that the Emta Dolig, again, that like the opinion that is assuming this halacha is relevant to Rosh Chodesh also, and therefore, who is the middle reader? It is the second one. That is how the general, that is what we do in America, that's what the Minhag Olam is in America. However, Minhag Gra, the Gra understands, based on other Rishonim, he understands, the Meiri says like this also, that it's the third Aliyah who's the one who's repeating. So the Minhag Gra has a different Kriya. They have people in America get very confused how they lane it in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, the Minhag Gra is very prevalent, and therefore, Adayom, we have the different machlokas, how to understand this vague line of Emsa Dolgan, to understand machlokas Adayom Hazeh, how to do the laning on Rosh Chodesh, and with that, now we understand a little bit more why, if you come to Eretz Yisrael and you see in Yerushalayim that they're laning differently, because they're following Minhag Gra, and Minhag Gra is based on the Rishonim to understand the Emsa is actually going on the guy who has a third Aliyah, he is the one who's repeating his Pasuk. So then it will be a difference of how to divide the Psukim. As opposed to, if you understand the middle one is the one who's repeating it. So we'll start with the Amar Talayim again and repeat from the Pasuk Gimel and read the paragraph that has five and have the paragraph divided in order for the second guy to be able to get three psukim in his laning. Okay, very good. Now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. Zeh Klal Kol Sheyesh B'Musaf is going to have an additional aliyah. So Gemara says, "Bailu Tainis Tiber B'Makama." How many people? The Mishnah doesn't say explicitly. What about a fast day? How many people do we have? Rosh Chodesh and Moed, the Ika Korban Musaf Arba. So Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, which have an additional Korban Musaf, then four people are reading. Aval Hacha, the Leika Korban Musaf Lo. But here, on a public fast day, since there's no Musaf, so then you'll say that you should only have three reading. Oh, Dilma Hacha, Nami Ika Musaf Tvila. Here, but there is an additional Tvila. What is that additional Tvila? Rashi assumes the additional Tvila is the additional Tvila of Aninu. So that was added to the Tvila, so maybe you should also assume that four people are going to be laning. I was just wondering why other Rishonim. I don't have a chance to see if other Rishonim hold it. Maybe it's the actual tefillah of that they would say sometimes on a Tanis Tibur. They would have the additional tefillah of Ne'ilah. So you have an additional tefillah, additional day of tefillah, whatever. But Rashi understands it as referring to the Aninu that you say in tefillah. So Gemara says Tashma. We learn from the Mishnah, which says Barosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed Korin Arba. Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed. You read four. This implies what's the diuk? The diuk is that if that's the case, so Tanis Tibur, Habet Tanis Tibur Gimel. So that implies that obviously left out of this list is a fast day, which is not listed in the group. Therefore, you should only be having three aliyahs. So the Gemara says, no, but you can make the same diuk, you can make the same inference from the Mishnah the other way, in which case the Mishnah is going to be leading to opposite conclusions. Emas Risha, but the beginning part of the Mishnah, which says, B'sheni v'chamishi v'shabbos b'nuncha korin gimel. Monday, Thursday, and on Shabbos, you read three people read the Kriyas HaTorah, which implies Hatanis Tibur Arba, because it doesn't list Kriyas HaTorah of a fast day there. So I would assume if that's the diuk, that's the inference would be that if that Tanis Tibur is not included in the list of days where you lane three. So I would assume that you read four. So rather, from this Mishnah, you can't, because again, there's the Yukim both ways. There are inferences from the Mishnah, from the Reisha one way that it should be four, and from the Seifa that it's three. So therefore, this Mishnah is no Raya. So the Gemara continues Tashma. So let's bring another proof from what happened with Rav once. The Rav Ikla Bavel B'Tanis Tibur. Rav came to Bavel on a fast day. Come Kara B'Sifra. So he read Kriyas HaTorah. He got the Aliyah. Again, when they used to get the Aliyah, they used to lane. So he got the Aliyah and was laning. Pasach Brich. He opened up and he made a bracha, chasim velo brich, and then he concluded the bracha and he did not recite a bracha. And then, just parenthetically, Gemara also points out that in the hemshich of in that davening, nafal kuli alma an payu v'rav lo nafal al pei. This reference to tachanan, the entire kihila, they fell on their faces. They used to do tachanan and pishut arang lam. They put out their face. We're going to get to this on Amud Beis. Then to say tachanan, Rav did not fall on his face when he was doing it. Then we'll get to that. The Gemara will analyze the second point on Amud Beis. So now just going back to analyze the first point, the Rav said he made a bracha He recited a bracha, and when he concluded, he did not make a bracha. Gemara says, "Michti Rav b'Yisrael Kar." Now, Rav was not a Kohen or a Levi, so he lechora got the third aliyah. My time echasim v'lo brich. So why would Rav, if he was the final person leaning? So then we pointed out again that we're assuming the first before the takana was first. The first guy got the first aliyah; he would make the first bracha, and the guy who was ending the third aliyah, he would making the last bracha. So the Gemara says, so now why wouldn't he make a bracha? If he didn't make the last bracha, it's because someone was reading after him. So it must be that there was a Revi. So we see that there's four people reading from Kriyas Torah on a fast day. Because it was a fast day. The Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, lo, Rav Bekahane Karam. Rav got the Aliyah of a coin. Wait a second. Rav wasn't a coin. The Haravuna Kar Bekahane. No, because we see that Ravuna also got the Aliyah of coin. So we see here another Kiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara says, it's actually quoted Halacha, that a coin is Darke Shalom. The Mishnah Gittin tells us, right, that because of Darke Shalom, the coin is supposed to get Rishon, the Levi, Sheni, and Yisrael Shlishi. So people don't fight about getting the Chasuv of first Aliyah. People don't fight about it, which is interesting because then everyone's just going to fight over getting the Shlishi. But whatever. That's the Darke Shalom in the Mishnah. And so that is, a kohen is not supposed to waive his rights. However, we make an exception. If a partisan is Talmud Chachamim Muflak, he's just a, like the God L'Ador, he's a mamash, a genius of the generation, then even if there's a kohen there, they're mochel, and you can get the God L'Ador can get the Aliyah. I believe Rav Avadia got Rishon. I think there are other, I don't think the Vicious Rebbe also, as it's all the one in Muncie, also used to get Rishon. There are Gedolim. This is the Halacha Torah, as it's quoted. The Tosfos Yontov already says that the minhag is that we don't know who's really considered a Gadol HaDor, who's in this level of knowledge, of a scholarship in Torah, so that we don't give it to anybody. But there are the Halacha, and the way it comes out, is there's a lot of room to understand like this Gemara, that a Gadol HaDor of a great stature is able to get Rishon. So again, so Gemara's pointing out over here that Rav would be able to get the Rishon even though he was a Yisrael. So then we don't have a raya, so that he make the bracha in the beginning and didn't make the bracha afterwards. Gemara says, wait a second though. Bishlam Rav Kahuna, Rav Huna was getting the coins aliyah, even though he's not a coin. Taha, afilu Ravami Ravasi, the Chanei Chashiv Da'ar Yisrael. Even Ravami Ravasi, they were the biggest Talmid Chachamim or Kohanim of that generation in Eretz Yisrael. Mikav Kafayel Rav Huna. They considered themselves secondary to Rav Huna, so Rav Huna was an undisputed Kohen Gadol, Gadol Ador. Ela Rav, but Rav, who was reading the Kohen, Ha'ika Shmuel, Tekanu, Avit Udevar Allah. Rav actually was a contemporary of Shmuel, and Shmuel was just as big as Rav, we're assuming at this point, who was a Kohen who lived in Babel. So he also, sometimes even took precedence. We see in Bava Kama that Rav would allow Shmuel to come in before him, showing that he felt that Shmuel was greater than him and giving him kavod. So we see that there was a Kohen who was more respected than Rav. So then Rav should not have been able to read the Kohen's Aliyah. Is this even if the Gemara was assuming that Shmuel was in the Shul? So many are showing some note. They were showing the point that even if Rav Shmuel was not present in the shul, since there was a Kohen who was of the stature of Rav in the area, and if some say maybe even in the whole world, then that Kohen, then he is like Makbet Kilu for all the Kohanim, that they should be given the honor of Kohen. And therefore, since Shmuel was a Kohen who lived in Belleville, and he was more highly regarded as Rav, then therefore Rav was not able to read the first Aliyah because there was someone who was greater than him. So Gemara says, Shmuel now make of kaifa ayva la Rav. You're assuming that Rav was great, was lower than Shmuel. No, Shmuel was considered secondary to Rav. He was subordinate to Rav. He was a lower level. But Rav avid like kavod. Rav himself felt that as a voluntary expression of was giving Shmuel honor. And the Gemara Rashi points out because of what happened in Shabbos, where Rav cursed Shmuel that he shouldn't have any sons. He felt very badly about it after, because Rav Shmuel was really trying to help him. Because the case for giving him the medicine, and that was he'd given honor to Rav was so. Therefore, even though Rav was due more honor, it was in front of him. So now the Margum points out, so when Rav gave him the special kavod, was only in his presence. Shalom b'fanav lo avilei, but not in his presence. He did not give him the special honor. Therefore, Rav was considered the highest Talmud Chacham, and therefore he was permitted to get the Aliyah of Kohen. So Gemara says, halcha nami mistarba b'Rav b'kane kare. So that, the Gemara points out that it's actually more reasonable to assume that Rav got the Kohen Aliyah, because if he got the Aliyah of Yisrael, if he's getting Shlishi right now, why was he making a bracha beforehand? So the Gemara says it must assume that he must be getting the Rishon Aliyah. The Gemara rejects this proof. The Gemara says, La'achar Takana. Maybe we're talking about after the Takana, which every person is supposed to be getting Aliyah. So therefore it's possible that he was the third Aliyah, and therefore he was making the Baruch. But second, the Gemara says, if it's after the Takana, then Ihachi, La'achar Enam the Baruch. If it's after the Takana, then what was the Takana? That every person who's getting Aliyah makes a Baruch both before and after, as we do nowadays. But Rav didn't make a Baruch after. So Elamai, we see over here that this is also part of the Takana. Part of the Takana was Livrech is that you should make a bracha both before and after. So it couldn't been after the takana. So the Gemara says, "Shana hecha the Yasiv Rav demalei." So the Gemara responds to this that it's different where Rav is present. For many people came late to shul, and therefore there was a need for Rav who got the third aliyah to say the bracha in the beginning, so that a person who's late does not assume that you're not thinking about the Torah, and therefore he would make does not have a bracha before, and therefore Rav felt the need to make a bracha beforehand. So mifik lo nafke, but people did not leave early because they were in awe. They would see Rav and they wouldn't leave in his presence. Therefore, there was no reason to assume everyone was leaving before Rav. So we therefore they remained until the end. And so therefore, what comes up, even though the Gemara has not proven that Rav got the Kohen Aliyah, possible that he got the third Aliyah, but still, we still have a minute right now that maybe four people are talking aloud to get the Aliyah on Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring another Braisa. Zeh klal kol sheyesh bo bitul malacha la'am. This is the general halacha, that anything where there's a loss of, where people are not working, so then you have an extra Aliyah. Kigon, tainis sibur v'tisha b'av, such as a fast day in tisha b'av. Sorry, not read four, rather, Korin Gimel, you read three psukim in the Torah. V'she'in bo bitul malacha la'am. And what is an example where there is no loss of work? Sorry, the opposite, meaning there is no loss, meaning that you can go to work. You're allowed to go to work. So then you leave three aliyahs. However, where there is a loss, where people are going to be losing out if you have a loss, so then if you have no loss, where people are not supposed to be working, people are not working, then kigon Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, as Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, Korin Dalad, why Rosh Chodesh doesn't have Isser Melachos? This is a very fascinating thing. The Ritva explains that the original Midrash, the ancient custom was that everybody stopped working and only women preserved this custom. That's the opinion of the Ritva. Rashi says no. That always, it was always the women who don't work. They had a minhag not to work. Hashem gave them a special yomtiv of Rosh Chodesh. This is their chag because they did not give in to the Egel Azav. We're going to see this in a few parshios, right? We're going to see that they did not give the men took from their own jewelry. The women didn't give any jewelry. They did not partake in the Egel Azav, and they refused to partake. And then Hashem rewarded them with Rosh Chodesh. So they're Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, they do not do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. This is a very interesting shayla adiyum that the Mishnah Berurah discusses. Bir lacha, that are they mamish obligated as a full fledged chiyuv to keep this minhag? Is this a minhag that's binding or not? Okay, that's very interesting. But either way, we see Korin Dalai that the four people are called the Kriyas Torah because there is a bit of malacha. People are not working anyway, so we give an extra aliyah. So we see Shema Minah, this is very clear from the Brisa, so that you should lane three on a fast day and on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says, "Amar Avashi va'anan lo tam ne'achah." Wait a second, though, our Mishnah seems to not indicate this, because our Mishnah says, "Zeh klal kol yom sheyesh b'musaf v'ein yom tov korin arba." That this is the general rule. Whenever you have Zeh klal, it's coming to include something else. That anything that's not a yom tov and there's a musaf that you read four. So the Gemara says, "Latuimah." But what's that coming to include? Again, Zeh klal always comes to include something else. So what's it coming to love that two etanis tibur v'tishabav? There's nothing else to include other than it must be a fast day. In which case, our Mishnah seems to indicate that there should be four aliyahs. So the Gemara says no. The Ravashi must nisun money. So then, according to Ravashi, nobody is going to be reflected in the opinion of the Mishnah. Lo Tanakama v'lo Rabbi Yossi. They're not the opinion of the Tanakama or Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama, because we have another brisa which says Chalios b'shini v'chamisha. If Tishabav falls out on Monday or Thursday, Korin Gimel Maftir Echad, three people are called to the Torah, and one of them, the last one, finishes with the half Torah from the Nevi'im. B'shlishi Yuri Korin Echad Maftir Echad. If it falls out on Tuesday or Wednesday, then then what happens is kora echad after echad, then the one person is called and one person finishes the half Torah. Rabbi Yossi Omer Olam Korin Gimel after echad. Doesn't matter which day it falls out on. Korin to Rabbi Yossi, you read three and you have the half Torah. So both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi agree that only three people are read on Tisha B'Av, unlike Rav Ashi, who says that it's four. So clearly Tisha B'Av is going to be three people. Ve'el Kasha Zeh Klal. But again, the Kasha is Rav Ashi was making his point from this is the general rule. What's it coming to include? Whatever has that klal, it's always coming to include something else. What's it coming to include over here in the Mishnah? So this is not coming to include fast days, rather this is coming to include Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed as days in which four people are called to the Kriyas HaTorah. So Gemara said, but wait a second though, that can't be though. The Mishnah, that clause is always indicating something that the Mishnah doesn't list. Here, it says specifically in the Mishnah, Rosh Chodesh and Moed Korin Arba, then Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, four people are read to the Torah. So why then, again, is the Zeh Klal coming to include them? So therefore, the Gemara answers, Simana Ba'alma Yayav, that the Mishnah is giving us a general rule. It's just giving us a way to remember, a simon, a way to remember, a mnemonic, some way to remember that includes more days when four people read, and therefore, I would have thought that Chol Hamoed and Yom Tov are identical. They should both have the Kriyas HaTorah of five aliyahs because they're very similar. This is the general call called the Tafilei Milsa Mecharvei Tveila Gavri Yaseira. That if something is more chashiv, has an additional halacha, then it is going to have an additional aliyah. Hilchah Rosh Chodesh and Moed, the Ikar Korban Musaf Korin Arba. Therefore, Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, where there is a Korban Musaf, then four people are read to Kriyas HaTorah. B'Yom Tov, the Asher Basias Malacha. So Yom Tov, where it's a full fledged Isser to have Asias Malacha. Again, there's a davar oven and things like that, a mutter on Chol Hamoed, and it's only a minute for women. Men are allowed to work. B'Yom Tov, the Asher Basias Malacha. So Yom Tov is a formal Isser, you're Chayv Malchus for doing Malacha. Then you're going to have five aliyahs. So therefore, you don't have that on Rosh Chodesh Chomer. And then Yom Kippurim, which is more Chomer than Yom Tov, because Anush Karis. Shisha, person who violates an Isser of Yom Tov is only violating a lav. Person who violates Yom Kippur is an additional level of Chomer, which is going to be six. And Shabbos, Ika Isser Skila Shiva, and Shabbos, which is the most Chomer of all them, they're going to be by stoning. And also Michal Lava Tashmehem, we see there's more Kedusha for these also. Yom Tov is one level of Kedusha, it seems to be Yom Kippur is a higher level, and Shabbos is the highest level of Kedusha with seven Kri. Now the Gemara goes back to analyze what we said, but we're going to analyze with Rav, that Rav did not do Tachlin. Gufa. Rav Ikla Bavel B'Tanis Tibor. Rav came to Bavel on a Tanis Tibor. Come, Karab Sifra, and he read the Sefer Torah. Pasach Brich Chasev Velo Brich. So therefore, before he concluded, he made a bracha, and then he did not receive a bracha at the end. When everyone did tachanun, he did not do tachanun. So again, this is what we're going to analyze now, the second half. The Gemara says, my time up, why did Rav not do tachanun? Did he fall on his face during tachanun? Again, they used to mamash fall on the ground like we do on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. That's how they used to do tachanun. So the Gemara points out, because Rav Shoshal Avanim Haisa, the floor was made of stone, V'tanya, we learn in a braisa, V'evan maskis lozit nil baratzichan, nishtal chavos aleha. So the pasuk says, and a stone covering you should not place in your land to literally to prostrate yourself in front of it and meaning put yourself down. What does it imply? Aleha yatamishachave be'artzechem. It implies that only doing it in your land, meaning wherever you live outside the Beis Hamikdash. However, the stones of the Beis Hamikdash, one is allowed to put himself in front of it. What is the issue over here? So Rashi points out that at the end of the day that the people used to do this to do avodah zarah. So therefore, if you're doing it obviously to worship Hashem, then it's going only to be winter in the Beis Hamikdash. That again, because we don't imitate avodah zarah outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So that's how Rashi understands it. The Rambam understands that the Torah just said that this is usher everywhere outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Everywhere outside the Beis Hamikdash is going to be usher. So the Gemara says, the Torah did not answer anything other than a floor of stones. So if that's the case, why specifically did Rav refrain from falling to his face on the ground? It's going to be asr for lekulam. It's going to be asr for everybody who is in the congregation as well. So Gemara says, "Kamei to Rav Habe." The stone floor was only in front of Rav, whereas everybody else there was no stone floor. So Gemara says, "Wait a second. So then why not Lizo Gabet Zibur Nimpal Abay? So why not move backwards to wherever the rest of the kila was davening, and he'll be able to fall on his face and do tachanun like the rest of the tzibur?" And Gemara says, "Because Lobay the Mitzvah Tzibur, he didn't want to bother everybody to making them stand up when he walked by them. So therefore, they don't have to get up and delay the davening. He did not fall on his face." So Gemara says, "Ibay Sema," or we give another answer. Rav Pishu Yadayim Raglayim Havei Avid. Rav was extending himself with his arm and leg extended when doing the tachanun. Uchadu Ula. As Ula says that this is Damar Ula Lasa Torah Ela Pisha Daim Raglaim Bilvad. When the Torah is us, when the Torah asks it only with arms and legs extended, but if you just put your face on the ground, that without your extending your arms and legs, that is not going to be permitted. So according to this answer, Big Nafkamina, according to this answer, that just prostrating yourself partially on the floor without Pisha Daim Raglaim, but extending your arms and legs is not going to be usher. Whereas according to the first answer, that is going to be fully usher if it's going to be a stone floor. So why didn't Rav just fall on his face and not do it with arms all extended? So the Gemara points out because lo mishanim in haga, because he didn't want to change his usual custom, which he did pishut yadayim v'layim, extending his arms and legs, and he didn't want to change it. Or ibay seima, you give another answer. Adam chashuv shiny, a chashuv person is different. As Rabbi Elazar said, damar Rabbi Elazar, in adam chashuv rasha leipol afanav ela imken ne'ena. A person is not allowed to say tachanun and this pishut yadayim v'layim unless he is going to be answered. They're falling on their face in this way and not answered, they're going to be made fun of by other people. Ki Yoshua ben Nun, as we see by Yoshua ben Nun, tichzei v'yomer Hashem Yoshua kum lach. And Yoshua says, go get up, and we see that Yoshua ben Nun was answered. So therefore, Rav was a prominent merchant, was not permitted to fall on the ground on his face, only Pishu Yadam Raglaim, even though the floor was not made of stone. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tanur Rabbanan in tomorrow's daf.